Billy DeVay's 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, and the namesake himself is out here, Pete Weber, everybody, on the last day of school. Willie Donick also joins the party. Willie, how are we doing?
Doing all right. It's a little bit bittersweet, the last day of school, because, you know it's the last day of school.
Uh-huh.
We're getting used to this around here, right? You make the playoffs every year. This is 8 straight years that's been snapped. You never know when your last game's going to be going into the game, right? It just ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even going to the – if you're behind and you're facing elimination, may not be the last day of school. Just win, you stay alive.
Hey.
But today we know it's the last day of school.
This is it.
So we want to have a one last hurrah here against the defending champions. And it's an interesting game. Only because Colorado is in a difficult dilemma. They played last night. They have to fly from Denver here. I mean, I'm sure they're here, but they had to fly through the night.
Mm-hmm.
And they have something to play for, because if they win, they win the division. They get more home ice advantage. They would be the 2 overall seed in the West as opposed to the number 2 seed in the Central.
Mm-hmm.
So they would play Minnesota in the first round if they lose tonight. If they win, they would get the Seattle Kraken, which is a little bit different, I would think.
Right.
So how bad do you try to go get this game? They're already pretty banged up. They don't have Cale Makar. They don't have Gabe Landeskog. They won't have Gabe Landeskog. So it's an interesting dilemma for a coach. Like, how bad would you try to go get this game?
Right.
Or would you say, hey, you know, if we win, great, but I'm not going to risk X. So we'll see.
It'll be interesting. Puck drop at 7 o'clock tonight at Bridgestone Arena. And joining us now is Jeffrey Simmons agent Paul Duracell. Paul, I know it's been a whirlwind of a week for you, hopefully in the best way possible, but we really appreciate you joining us. First question I have for you is, going into this deal, going into all the negotiations, what were Jeffrey Simmons' priorities in this contract?
Well, first of all, good afternoon. How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks
we appreciate
for coming
it.
On.
Yeah, appreciate you.
No doubt. I would say for Jeff, man, going into it, his number one priority was he wanted to just be paid in line with his value. And he wanted to know that the organization really respected him and valued his contributions and, you know, him playing hurt and doing everything right. So he didn't have just a set number beating anybody. I think his number one priority was getting a contract that was guaranteed. That it had high guaranteed money, flexibility on the length of the contract, and just something that would be respectable at his position. We focus on us in the entirety of the deal, with not really trying to worry about beating anybody else. Just what was important to us.
Now, Paul, looking at Jeffrey's contract, and we've talked about it for the last couple of days, and congratulations to you for negotiating that contract, and congratulations to Jeff because he earned every bid and possibly even more. But we were discussing a contract, and we were all trying to figure out, well, what will it be? What will it entail? How much? And we were thinking we're not so much worried about the AAV than we are the guaranteed money. Is that what you and Jeffrey were more concerned with outside of being in Nashville for his whole career, more so the guaranteed than the AAV?
Absolutely. You know, Jeffrey and I have a very close relationship. I care about him. So I feel like sometimes AAV is more of an agent number,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you use as a recruitment tool. You know, sometimes you hear guys, oh, I got 42 guaranteed. Then it's a backloaded contract, dummy years, void years, and the player never sees that. So it was big for us to have real tangible money. And the AAV is a great number. I still feel like we have a good number. But it was always about the guarantee, 3-year cash flow, signing bonus, those metrics. You know, I wanted real money. It wasn't about me. It was all about Jeff.
Now, was there any worry that a deal might not get done this year, considering what happened, you know, because the Titans were sort of in the same situation with A.J. Brown a year prior. And we all thought, hey, A.J. is going to be back, and I know they wanted him back. But then at the 12th hour, they end up trading him away, and he ends up getting a contract with Philadelphia. Now, we didn't think that Jeffrey was going to go anywhere, but there were a lot of fans just around here like, man, they're not going to sign Jeff back because the Titans don't pay anyone, which is not true. They do pay, and they do prioritize positions. And I think Jeffrey was one of their, if not their main priority this offseason?
I don't think there was any word. You know, we went into it knowing that A.J. Brown was an entirely different situation with an entirely different general manager. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rand Carthon came in, man. If he was hired on a Tuesday, I think I see a 6, 7, 8 number or whatever. His number starts with, he called me by Wednesday. The dialogue started very early, you know, more so just from congratulating each other. You know, I was proud of him just as a black man. You know, that was the first part of the conversation. And obviously, you know, we got into the nuances. And, you know, he said he wanted to pay Jeff. And, you know, he had sent an offer by the Pro Bowl. We got our first offer from the Titans at the Pro Bowl, I believe on the Friday or the Saturday of the Pro Bowl. So we knew that, and he came in at a number that was, I would say, respectable. You know, sometimes these organizations will send you a terrible number. It wasn't disrespectful. You know, when we got that offer, we knew there was work to do, but we knew that getting to the number that we wanted was tangible. And Rand was true to his word.
Talking to Paul Duracell. He is the agent for Jeffrey Simmons. And, Paul, excuse us. We're downtown here. We got sirens and stuff going up and down the Mumbrian here right by the arena. But I'm curious, your relationship, you mentioned you've known Jeffrey for a long time. We have really enjoyed his personality, the way he wants to win, the way he's been a professional since he's been here at Nashville. When did you first meet Jeffrey?
It's crazy. I actually first met Jeffrey at the Pro Bowl when he was, after his rookie year, he was with Jarrell Casey. And I just kept seeing him over and over. I was playing ping pong, just beating everybody, man. And I was beating him. And I saw he had a wristband on. It was Omega Psi Phi. And I'm a part of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. So we talked a little bit about that, but it was never on, you know, I want to represent you one day. And obviously, I did my research, looked up. I saw he didn't have an agent at the time. You know, he went that route of no agent. And, you know, doing further research, I saw that his uncle was Jason Hatcher. He played in the NFL, and you know, I didn't think anything of it at the time. I was representing DJ Chark. But a couple years later, I saw Hatch at a crab boil, and we just started talking and just built a genuine, organic relationship. He introduced me to Jeff and also Tyree Phillips, and we just fostered a friendship. It was never a promise that I would ever be his agent. I was just around, you know, and building that trust, building that rapport. And I actually had to interview like anybody else did for the position, and I would like to think I knocked it out the park, and that's why I'm here talking to y'all today.
You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about your sort of vision of how you approach being an agent. It's obvious that the relationship is important. You know, we've all seen Jerry Maguire and movies like that, but, you know, there's different relationships, right, between agents and players. So I'm curious, where did you develop sort of your belief on what an agent should be to a player?
I've always looked at it, man. Whether a person was a football player, a fellow law student, a younger fraternity brother, I've always treated people how I would want to be treated if I were in that position. And I'm big on personal relationships because I believe at the end of the day, when it gets dark and when it gets hard, those personal relationships are going to give you sustenance through a difficult time. You know, contract negotiations are hard. So I feel like you can't really know the player until you know the person, so you know their temperament, so you know their priorities, so you know their values. So I try to be a big brother as an agent, be a mentor, be a therapist, be a pastor, sending you know, scripture in the morning. You know, an agent's going to wear many hats, and I just try my best to foster those really, really personal relationships, not only with the player, but with their family, with everybody, because that's what it's about for me. I don't care if I have 20 clients, if I have 10 quality guys, that's better than 50 guys I got to worry about losing anytime things get hard.
So as the big brother, did you take it easy on him at the ping pong table? Or did you say, look, I'm the big brother, I got to teach you how to get better here? Did you school him?
I have not lost the ping pong game yet. Tyree's been practicing a little bit, but I don't think I'll lose. I didn't beat him right-handed, left-handed. You know,
don't matter. We're talking with Paul Duracell, Jeffrey Simmons' agent. They just negotiated a $94 million four-year extension for Jeffrey Simmons. Now, I listened to Jeff on press conference, and it tugs at everybody's heartstrings because I think a lot of players can relate to Jeffrey's story and his upbringing and his mom and his family being there for him. no matter what. I think a lot of players can attest to that. But I also listened to the things that Jeffrey said he was doing down in Mississippi, all of the work outside of football with the community stuff. Was that big for you in getting a client that not only does he do what he needs to do on a football field, but also that he gives back to the community that he grew up in and the community that he's playing in?
That is absolutely important. Jeff Hart, man, how much he loves people and looks out for people, and he's always so selfless. And that resonates, man. That resonates, and it also translates to the football field. He loves his teammates. Y'all saw him crying after the Jag game. When he loves you and he's with you, you know, he grew up in Nashville County under unfortunate circumstances. You know, he kind of talked about sharing a bed with his brother, living with his family, all that. So, you know, when he started giving him a reason, he started that because he wanted to use his position to help others. You know, they had a big Christmas giveaway, and they're doing all these big things, man. And it couldn't happen to a better human being, man. Mm-hmm. Now, none of this that is happening. He's going to be one of those guys that's going to give back. He's got plans for tennis camps, business, the things that they're about to do with this foundation, man. It is going to be truly, truly sensational. And he means it, too. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's really important to him.
Jeffrey Simmons' agent Paul Duracell is with us. Paul, what was your experience like working with Rand Carthon, negotiating with Rand Carthon, your impression of him as a person and as a GM?
I love Rand. You know, there's a quote about Rand that says he's everybody's best friend. And immediately in meeting Rand and interacting, you could see why he was the guy at San Francisco. Anytime things got tough, they sent him to go talk to Debo. Mm-hmm. He has this calming presence. He's firm. He's fair. He's a consummate professional. You know, he and I didn't always get along about certain things, but I think we left the process as friends. He knows his stuff. He knows football. And the crazy thing about it, man, is a lot of people don't know this, but we really moved the deal along by going to church, Mount Zion, Sunday morning, which is right by the facility. So right after church, Rand and I got to, you know, he pulled out the deal on the screen, on the big screen, and I think that's when we made significant movement in the deal. And I look forward to working with him again, because I'm going to see him again in a couple of years. I hope that all of, you know, a four-year extension was very intentional. We'll see Rand again when it's time to get to that new stadium.
And Paul, that's what we talked about as far as the length of the deal. That, you know, Jeffrey will be just turning 30 or will be 30 at the end of this deal, but it gives him the flexibility, which, you know, you've talked about the flexibility of going back to the table because you know what type of player Jeffrey Simmons is and you know what he will ultimately become. So going back to the table is nothing to you. It's like, listen, we're going to sign this short-term deal. It's great for both parties, but knowing that Jeff is going to be back at the table in another 3 to 4 years.
Absolutely. And if you look at historically what the Titans have done, you know, as an agent, you got to do your homework. You know, if you look historically at what the Titans have done, they've done 5-year extensions. You know, Landry, the Taylor Lewan is the more appropriate comparison. You know, he had 5 for 80, but he did a 5-year extension with the 5th-year option. So we really, really wanted to get to a 4-year. You know, me personally, I wanted 3 years, but Rand told me, hell nah. look, I'm thinking I'm coming in. I'm like, you know, maybe I go 3 years, $68 million fully guaranteed, and with a basketball deal, Rand was like, hell nah. So, you know, the first couple of offers were 5-year extensions. I can, you know, y'all my cousins now, so I can tell y'all that. But I was adamant. And you look at Javon Hargrave, just got paid 4 years, $84 million at 30. Chris Jones is 29. The defensive tackle is a position where being 30 is not necessarily an impediment to getting a lucrative last contract. But we wanted to be back at 29 or 30. That was the thought of ours. Because we had higher average annual value in the 5-year range, but we sacrificed some of that to get to where we were, where we ended up in. Absolutely.
Paul Duracell, Jeffrey Simmons representation, appreciate you for joining us. Appreciate you for taking the time, and a go Jags to you and everybody else down there in the boot.
Yes, Oh, no, it was a pleasure anytime, and I enjoyed my talk with you guys.
Awesome. Thank
you. Appreciate it.
Paul Duracell, Jeffrey Simmons' agent. We'll react to that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.